We're not talking about punching a time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, great day to all you great stewards of the land. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO. Well, 39 degrees. Wind chill's 31. Not too bad, but the winds have been getting up steadily all morning. They're out of the northeast at 16, gusting up to 22. And it's, man, tonight and tomorrow, just, I love snow. So anyway, we'll see what happens. I think I delayed it a little bit. It might be coming in the morning out here. Who knows? But we'll, I got an expert on the phone with me anyway. I think she is anyway. Hey, Lacey.
Hey. Hello.
How are you?
I am doing well. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. My leg from getting my butt kicked by a cow last week is healing up nicely. My foot had...
I felt horrible. Jimmy, I cracked up when I saw that video.
Oh, are you creeping on me?
Oh, I thought it was amazing. Uh-huh. It was horrible. It was horrible.
Yeah, whatever. That video was actually before it got worse. So the next day and Saturday, I'm not crying or whining, but I'm going to tell you, I was hurting. Mm-hmm. My right calf was probably twice as big as my other one. And you know, Zoe, my griff, my hunting dog, Sandy, uh-huh, and her and the other dog had went outside Saturday and afternoon, and I fell asleep in the lazy chair, and Sandy come back in, and the dog's coming out, and Zoe just loves me, and she just runs and jumps on me, and I'm asleep.
Oh.
And she, 70 pounds, laying it right on that leg, and when the cuss words were done, both, uh-huh, dogs voluntarily went to the kennel, and Sandy went back outside.
They vacated the premises.
It was, that hurt. But anyway, Sunday it started feeling better, and, you remember when you come to the quail banquet, do you remember Russ Rundle, the one of our officers? You were standing right next to him in the picture. He was he was I called him because he's a retired basketball coach, and I said, dude, I gotta do something. So he said 72 hours after your actual injury, he said, put your leg in one of those tall 5-gallon buckets, basically a 7-gallon bucket full of ice water for 2 minutes. And then pull it out, and by the time you get that bucket full of hot water, 2 minutes too, and does the trick.
Really? Take the pain away, or?
No, it just helps the blood start flowing a lot better and going through there.
Gotcha.
I don't know what it does, but a doctor.
It felt better. That's all that matters.
Yeah, Dr. Russ, he did get it. It felt better. And I creeped up on you last night. Well, I never creep on it. It comes up on my page. You were bragging about feeling, you had a story up about feeling the baby.
Yeah, it's so awesome. So this pregnancy is different than Brooklyn. They're all different, I'm told. But I just don't feel the baby kick on the outside. I can feel little flutters and all that, which is like the best feeling in the entire world. But nothing dramatic, and that's just because of just the way this pregnancy is kind of oriented, which is totally normal. It's just they're all different. So I won't be able to feel the baby really kick on the outside for probably several more weeks. But I everything just came together. I guess everything was turned just a certain way, and this little baby was twisted or something, and I felt 4 kicks on my hand, which was like, I can't even tell you how amazing it was. It was absolutely amazing. So
he or she was ready to go hunting.
That's what it was.
Yeah.
That's what it was. I had been sitting out in the sun. It was gorgeous yesterday. It felt so nice, and knowing what was coming weather-wise, I was taking advantage, and so I think the baby was just happy because I was happy. That's what I'm going with.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you did. You looked really super happy in that story you posted last night. I loved it. But then, well,
thanks.
Yeah, you got me hooked up with Hannah last week. And
Hannah Scholes.
Yeah, Hannah Scholes. Has she been there a month, 2 months now?
She's she got there right before the new year. So yeah, about a month.
Yeah, about a month. Mm-hmm. Anyway, she said this was her first report ever. And anyway, I sent her an email back after the deal, and because her and I don't remember that, what was that climatologist guy's name at OU?
Gary McManus? I'm not sure.
Yeah, it was him. And she did a wonderful report, and I bragged on her. I said, well, if that's your first one, I can't wait to see your next one. So, but anyway,
she's very talented. She loves weather, absolutely loves it. Her fiance is actually from Elk City.
Yep.
They're getting married in just a couple weeks in Oklahoma.
Cool.
And so she's here. So I love her to death. She's very bright. Went to OU. Had a lot of the same professors I had, which is crazy, like a decade ago, but still. And she's just very bright. Very, very bright girl.
Well, she did a wonderful job with me, and she caught me off guard. Well, you both caught me off guard. I didn't have my hearing device for my ear that day, and so I set up the phone. If I'd had my hearing device, I could have Bluetoothed into the phone, and I could have heard her a lot better. So I hope it went well. I seen the deal. The five glove. I thought it went well, especially for my redneck butt. So anyway,
well, she had asked me. She'd come to me, and she's like, "Hey, I'm told you're the person to ask. Do you know any farmers?" Like, hilarious.
Well, yeah, but, because
why?
We're hooking.
What do you need?
We're hooking you up.
What kind of variety of farmer are you looking for?
Yeah, what are you looking for? Yeah, you hooked us up, and this is like the lady, Sherry Dameron, that texted me about that deal I was talking with you about earlier. Our Dust Bowl days coming up in July out at Sayre. She texted me last night. We all love Lacey, and we know she's going to be having a baby in that time frame, but maybe she could help us with what we're trying to do here. And I said,
awesome.
I said, Lacey is digging this agriculture stuff. I said, I could tell it.
I feel like it's in all of us, you know, or it's inherent in all of us. And so we all love it to some degree. It's just who has the time, the effort, and the knowledge, you know, to take it further. So.
Well,
but I love it.
But probably besides traffic and tornadoes, I mean, when I'm talking traffic, like during a snowstorm or something, your forecast, what you do for a living as a meteorologist, affects farming and ranching probably more than it does anybody in the world besides golfers. So,
yes, right.
Yeah, and that was really that was interesting what the climatologist brought up and Hannah brought up about, you know, the dry line from the, droughts used to be from the Oklahoma state line out west, and now it's moved over there to where you're at in Oklahoma City now. It's moved over there, and that was really interesting because I'm thinking about getting him on the show. That was pretty cool.
Oh man, he's a wealth of knowledge. I'm telling you, if you don't subscribe, and he has a little kind of blog he puts out every week, and he calls it the Mesonet Ticker. You can Google it.
Yeah, I've seen it on his webpage or on when I Googled him. Yeah,
he's hilarious. His writing skills are great, and he's just a wealth of knowledge. And it's just very educational, informational, and I mean, I think any farmer rancher would love to read it, of just what's going on in Oklahoma as far as climate's concerned.
Well,
talking the drought or whatever.
Silly question. We all know there's climate change, and you know, the Earth's climate has changed since whenever. And so, what do you think? What's your opinion on what you think's caused that line to move so far east?
What's caused the dry line actually to move?
Yeah, they talk about what he was talking about the other day, that the Oklahoma Texas state line out here was usually where the droughts happened to the west of there. Now it's moving to the east towards Oklahoma City, and more droughts are showing up in this area.
Sure. I would have, honest to God, I can't talk about it with any knowledge, any credibility at all, other than what I've experienced in my career, so over 10 years, which isn't climate, but definitely in the last 10 years, there have been years where the drought has been worse. There have been years the dry line has shifted like it is right now, but there have also been years the dry line, because the dry line is the weather, why we care, that's where storms fire. That is the firing line in spring for storms. Not always. It can fire on other fronts as well, but when the dry line sets up, that's where you go to chase. That's where the storms are going to fire for a multitude of reasons. But that dry line can be in the Texas Panhandle. That dry line can be on the Oklahoma border. That dry line, a couple years, has been east of I-35, and the dry line fires east of I-35 every single time. And if you're behind the dry line, you're not getting a drop of rain. And so it all has to do with where the drought's set up, where the ground temperature is warmer versus where it's drier, and where that moisture sets up. So there's a lot of different factors as to what causes that. It's all driven by drought of that year. But there have been years that it's further west versus further east. So I would have to see what the trend is. I didn't see exactly what he was saying as far as what the trend was, where it is versus where it was. But you can take an average of anything.
Right.
But all you care about is the upcoming year. You know what I mean? If the dry line puts up in Amarillo, you're going to be in business for heavy rain and storms that year.
Well, that
now, on average, it may be further east. And as far as the driving factor behind it, I'd have to look and see. There's so many factors when it comes into weather and how it affects climate.
Oh, well, I brought out the good ones on the text line. You want to hear this one?
Sure.
According to a book called The Sixth Extinction, our carbon data is the same as it was 50 million years ago when they had palm trees and crocodiles in England.
I think that you could look and find data for whatever it is you want to find, and that's what I'll say about any of it. I will never give my opinion on.
You're not a climatologist, are you?
This is not going to happen.
I know. No. I was pushing your trigger there, but anyway.
I know what you do. But I think it does change. Like you said, I mean, it changes year to year. It ranges year to year. We get in patterns, and those patterns change. So.
Well, I got some medical texts in if you want to hear this one.
I love medical texts.
Yeah. This is Ron from Colorado here. If your right calf is bigger than your left, then you need to feed the left calf a little more than you do the right one. That way they will equal. Okay.
Nice dad joke there.
Yeah. And then what else was there? There was one else here. Where'd he go? I lost it. Oh, here we go. Oh, he says, don't feel bad, Mr. Jimmy. I got trampled by 6 400-pound calves and then kicked in the head all by the same ones in the same week. So,
oh, my God. It's a rough life.
It is a rough. It is. I've had ribs broken. I've been kicked in places I don't want to discuss, and it hurts.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but that, hey.
What did you do to make it kick you? I never heard the story.
Oh, okay. I'll tell you the story. So, okay. I was coming back from Willow. Down where you've hunted, and I was coming home, and I went by Joe and Kelly's house, and I just happened to look over there, and I was talking on the phone to a friend of mine, and I looked over there, and there was a cow standing over there with a big old leg hanging out the back, and I knew that wasn't good because she wasn't laying down, and it looked like it was starting to dry up. So I pulled back to the gate, and I called Joey. He said, I'll get it. I said, no, you won't, not without help. And so Gary, his dad, pulled up about that time, just giving me that, what are you doing? And I pointed over there at the cow, and he's like, oh, boy. So we went over there, was going to try to get her to the lot, and she was already semi-paralyzed in her right leg, just a little bit on her ankle, but her leg, she still had it, but she wasn't going to make it to the lot, so... We rounded up everything we needed to pull the calf out in the pasture, and I went up there, and she hadn't been acting up. I went up there with the rope to put a rope around her neck and was going to tie her off on the truck so we could get her down and pull the calf. Well, when I come around from the back side of her to get around to the front of her to put that rope on her, she seen that rope in my hand, and fire lit up in her eyes.
Uh-oh, she saw red.
Yeah, she did. I swear to God she seen red because I could see it. So I turned to run, and a lot of gopher mounds out there. Well, and I stumbled and fell, and I knew what was coming, so I was hurrying to get up, and she hit me right in the buttocks, and Gary said, kind of laugh, he didn't laugh then, but he said, you did a 360. I mean, You should. In the Olympics, that would have been a gold medal, I think is what he said. Somebody said it. But anyway, so I landed on my belly, flat on my belly.
Oh, no.
And I was trying to kind of get my footing under me because I knew she was coming and I was just going to roll out of her way. And
so she wasn't done with you.
Yes, you know, no, she meant to hurt me, and she did. And,
oh, no.
And she, so what'd she do? Oh, I was going to roll out of her way, and she put all of her weight on my right leg, and I couldn't do nothing.
My gosh.
And I turned around and looked at her, and I could see her fire went from red to yellow. And she was smashing me to the ground, and Joey finally got up there, and he grabbed a hold of his hands and the nostrils to try to twist her away from me. And she was pounding on me, and I'm telling you what, there's stickers in that pasture because I had them all over me. And she lifted her foot up where I could roll out of the way. And anyway, we got the calf pulled. And so I wouldn't care if you was 30, 40, 50, 60 years old. I don't care how old you are. That cow, she's 12-year-old cow, big cow, had a big calf hanging out her and semi-paralyzed. I don't care. She's going to catch you. So,
yeah. She was determined.
Yeah, she was. Yeah, she.
Well, that could have gone much worse.
It did.
So I'm glad you're okay. But since you're okay.
Yeah, I'm glad. Let's hear it. but Gary and Joey knew it was serious because I bet they called and checked on me a half a dozen different times. And Gary said, I know your neck's hurting. I said, no, it's not.
Yeah, I could have done all kinds of damage.
He said, she flipped you up in the air like a clown. So it was, anyway, so that's my story and I'm sticking to it. So,
gotcha.
But they, you guys just joining? Lacey Swope, Channel 9 meteorologist, is on with me, and we're talking about dry lines, and what else are we talking about? Oh, we're talking about cows kicking Jimmy's butt, and then, so...
If you said a cow kicked you, I was picturing, like, oh, I walked by, and reached out and kicked me. I didn't know.
No, I had 1,500 pounds on that leg.
Yeah,
I got trampled. I had 1,500 pounds on that leg, and I mean, it wasn't just lightly stepping on me. She had all the weight on her front end because she had her head down.
Oh,
yeah, and I mean, that's not the first time I got it, and I've had a lot of advice on how to prevent that, and...
Well, yeah, but when it comes down to it, and you're just trying to save a wounded animal or something, they're hurt in some way, you're not necessarily thinking of all those things.
Yep, nope. And a couple years ago when I got my ribs broken in the pen, that my cows are as gentle as they come, and sometimes that can haunt you, but I was moving her up in the chute. The vet was doing a preg check, and we was worming them, and she... stepped back a little bit and stepped on my foot and it caught me off and I fell to the ground and which that didn't hurt, but what hurt was when I fell to the ground, it spooked her, and that's when she did her 180 spin around and just started running me down and pin. Oh, there wasn't nowhere to run. She was just hurting me, and of course Dr. Sandy Clark was there with her essential oils, and she was doctoring me up, and the vet was kind of giving me the deer in the headlight look, because just let her do what she's got to do, and then we'll move on. So anyway, but it was all fun. So is La Nina still bothering us?
It's still weak. It's weak. The projections are that it kind of goes to negative, which goes to kind of a weak El Nino into the summer. But there's no drastic flip where it goes from, strong La Nina to strong El Nino, which would be great for moisture. It just kind of looks like it's almost neutral for a while into spring right now is the way it looks.
So nothing's going to change. I see we had some next week. Did I see, or next weekend, there may be some chances of rain next week?
So
Wednesday,
the second, third, first, second, third has been consistent, even in long term, for the past month. That has been consistent in data to give us a really nice wet slow moving storm system, and it's still there, it's still showing up now. That's not too far out to where it's unrealistic. It's getting much closer in the data. Some of the data this morning, it's also time with the cold front, so we'll have to see if it's winter precip or not. Some of the data this morning that I looked at just before you called, it's actually cold enough that it's more of ice, which would not be great.
No, it wouldn't.
But We'll see. It's too far out still to get into the nitty-gritty, but there has been several runs showing actual freezing rain versus rain or snow. So we'll see. And moisture, anyway, right now it looks like at least moisture. So it's the best chance we've had in a very long time.
Hey, we got to have hope. And, hey, the second is my birthday, Groundhog Day. So if you brought me rain, oh, my God, I'd love you forever.
That's just what we'll shoot for then.
So, yeah, the Groundhog Day. I never get up to look for my shadow. I'm not that player, but I watch it when they do it on the big channels up out in New York. Yeah, I do that much. But hey, you want to play a game of Timbits with me?
Sure.
Weather Timbits.
Okay.
All right, here's my first one. Hang on, let me get to my deal. I had it all ready for you, and here we go. So, this is yesterday, or a couple days ago, was the anniversary date of the coldest temperature ever recorded in Montana, and actually recorded anywhere in the lower 48 states. What state and what was the temperature?
You said in Montana?
Yeah, well, never mind. No, yeah, Montana. Sorry about that. Well, I ruined that one. But
listen,
what's the temperature?
You're trying to trick me, Jimmy.
I gave you a hint, and you just didn't know it. See, you were paying attention.
Minus 51.
Ah! Bzz, gong. Nope. Minus 70, January 20th, 1954.
Wow. That's cool. I know it's gotten to like 70, almost 80 below in Alaska. So I didn't think it'd be that way in Montana, but wow. That's impressive.
Yeah. All right. You better know this one. What's the coldest temperature ever recorded in Oklahoma? And I'll give you a hint. I'll give you a hint. Okay. It was in 1905, and it was tied again in 1930.
Well, the coldest ever recorded was on the Oklahoma Mezzanet, so that's where it gets weird with instrumentation. The Oklahoma Mezzanet is newer instruments that started in the 1980s. Technically, the coldest is minus 31 in Nowata back in 2011.
See, you can't believe everything you see on Google, because they had it at minus 27.
So it was. That's what I'm saying. That was with ASOS data. That was with instruments at the airport. The Oklahoma Mezzanet are not at the airport. It's a whole different set of instrumentation. And that's where climate data gets tricky, because now you're introducing new numbers, new instruments, new technology, and trying to compare that with the old. But since the new instruments have been in place with the Oklahoma Mezzanet, there has been a minus 31 in Nowata in northeastern Oklahoma back in 2011.
Wow, that's still cold. I mean, minus 27, minus 31, it don't matter. You're not going to feel 4 degrees difference.
Right.
Not at that temperature. All right, couple more for you.
Okay.
You can take a wild guess. How about Idaho?
Idaho? There's no way it's been 70 below in Idaho.
No.
It's got to be in the 50s. Minus 53.
60. Minus 60.
No way.
Yep. Recorded in Island Park, Idaho, January 18th, 1943, and I'm pretty sure that wasn't digital.
No. So, no, it definitely wasn't digital.
So, I'm going to give you one more, and it's kind of a newer. It was in the 1990s when this temperature was set. So this state should throw you off of just a little bit. Kentucky.
Okay. I bet it was 1993. Was it 1993?
94. It's close.
Okay. Kentucky.
Are you
minus
cheating?
Minus 34. No, I swear to you I'm not minus 34.
No, 37.
Okay.
Minus 37. You're good. Okay, you did good. You didn't, I was trying to give you some hints to not make you look so silly, but anyway.
Exactly. Thank you. I appreciate that.
It worked out good. Anyway, so what's next on your agenda? Nap?
You know, probably so. A nap sounds wonderful. I think my husband will be getting home soon. I think he went to go pick up lunch. I don't know what. So, I think food and nap sounds good today. It's cold, you know, it's cold and windy.
Yeah, it's cold and windy. And what do we got to look forward to tonight and tomorrow?
The snow comes in out there tomorrow, probably closer to sunrise, maybe a little before, and it just looks so light. It just doesn't look. For drought conditions, I don't look so much at snow totals as I do what's called liquid equivalent.
Right.
That's what, when you get the snow, when it melts down, what do you have? Because that's all you care about anyway.
Right.
And it looks like there will be parts of southwestern Oklahoma, maybe a few counties that get close to a couple tenths of an inch of liquid equivalent, ones that melt. Everyone else, a couple hundredths of an inch of moisture.
Yeah.
So
that snow we got the other day, when was that? Monday? Or no, was it last? No, it was last Friday. We had a little bit of that snow shower Friday morning, I think it was. It was pretty powdery. It wasn't, even when it melted, there wasn't no water on the ground. So it was pretty,
right.
It was
exactly.
Pretty dry.
Exactly. And that's, I mean, this will be, there'll be places where this is a little better. Some data has, you know, a couple inches of snow and a few bands that set up, exactly where those bands set up. Most data says it's like Mangum to Custer City.
Right.
But that'll set up somewhere. Someone may get, you know, a couple inches on the ground, but once it melts, it's a dry snow. So,
well, one more thing, so I can, before Tyler gets there with food, because I know you, being in the motherly way, you crave food. Is that correct?
Listen, I when I'm not pregnant, I get a raging hunger. Like, I mean, it's a fiery hunger, and my husband knows. He'll look at me and he'll be like, "You're hungry, aren't you?" Okay, he knows not until I eat. And now being pregnant, it's at a level that I feel like I'm dangerous. I'm a danger to society when I'm hungry.
Oh, well, I know here in a couple of weeks, you're going to be visiting out here picking up something to satisfy some of that hunger, right?
Yes, coming up very soon. I got a cow.
Yeah. You're going to be solely, you're going to be totally happy with that. And hey, don't forget to turn in your cut sheet too. And
My husband was supposed to do that, but I'll check if he did.
All right. Anyway, are you doing 3-inch fillets?
Jimmy, I don't know what he picked. Two. I don't care because he cooks. My husband is the cook in the house. So he will pick it and then he will cook it. I don't care. I just want it to taste good.
Okay. Well, I had some really, my wife, the chef, Sandy, she did some really good beef stew last night, and we're having it again tonight, and it was really good. She worked over there chopping. She was making so much noise, chopping up stuff. I had the TV on high, and it was really good, and she did a good job on it, and I was impressed.
Did she can stuff? Just curious, off the wall question. But did she can, like, canned vegetables and stuff?
No, that's her mother.
Gotcha. Okay.
That's not Sandy. She's a little city girl sometimes when it comes to that kind of stuff, but we do preserve stuff in the freezer, like cut stuff up, squash and okra and stuff like that, and freeze it. But she's not a canner. I wish she was, but she's not.
Well, there's nothing wrong with that.
I know.
At all.
I'm not complaining. You brought it up.
I've canned several things, and I always love hearing about other things to can. So.
Thank you so much for coming on today, and we'll see you next Tuesday unless something happens. And tell everybody, tell Brooklyn and Tyler I said hello.
I will tell your family I said hi. Please don't get trampled by any more cows in the next 7 days.
And quit laughing at me too. So anyway, we have a great day.
You too. Bye.
Bye. All right. That was Lacey Swope. Had a good conversation there. Sorry you guys got to hear some of the stuff me and her talk about. But, hey, she doesn't put her makeup on to come on the show, and she wants to talk, and not all weather sometimes, so I got to kind of keep it dividing line going on there. Anyway, Sandy's already correcting me. Anyway, we got to take a break. I got bills to pay. It's the Day in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
This is the Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction Market Report for Monday, January 24th. 2,334 head were sold. 3 head of steers at 417 brought 206, 62 at 587 brought 179, 22 at 675 brought 157.75, 36 at 922 brought 146.75, 28 at 946 brought 145.50, 63 head of heifers at 468 brought 175, 21 at 621 brought 151.75, 74 at 679 brought 146.75, 21 at 787 brought 140, 21 at 812 brought 140. Butcher cows were 35 to 79. Butcher bulls 65 to 98. Bred cows 855 to 900. Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction, exit 71, Clinton, Oklahoma. Sale every Monday at 10 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095. Are you in the market to buy or sell cattle? Then don't miss Hobart Stockyard's weekly cattle sale in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale's every Wednesday at 9:30 a.m. Buyers can bid in person or online. To consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. That's 580-331-8547. Be sure and check out the market reports and each week's penny news. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and do appreciate it.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
He loves to talk about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
30, there we go. 39 degrees, wind chills 29, winds out of the south, or not south, northeast, 17 miles an hour, gusting up to 24. Lacey is full of energy today. She's, I figured she was. She was feeling pretty good yesterday. She's excited to be a new mom, and that's awesome that a person's that excited to be a new mom. So, also, before we get to the, no, let's do the wheat futures. Hard red winter wheat. Wow. 8.13. This is cash prices in Oklahoma an hour ago. Corn's at 6.38. Milo's at 6.26. Soybeans are at 13.44. And cotton's at 1.21. Hey, before I get into this report, I wanted to tell you guys something new that we're doing. We're streaming live on Facebook, but we're also started yesterday, but we want to make sure everything was cool. So today, if you're not on Facebook and you want to watch the show and listen to the show, you can go to KCOFM.com and do the Today in Ag show, and we are streaming live on our webpage. So it's awesome. We started it today. So anyway, you can listen to me. If you don't want to look at me, you can just don't look at me. Just listen to the show. And obviously, we're on KCOFM radio. And if you want to watch the or listen to the show later, you can always go to KCOFM and do the Today in Ag show and tab on the live and just find your way to my show. And all my shows are on there. So anyway, it's pretty exciting that we're going live on both Facebook and the website today. So check it out. It's cool. Wheat futures surged in overnight trading on declining crop conditions in Kansas and Oklahoma, ongoing concerns about tensions between Russia and Ukraine. The hard red winter wheat crop in Kansas was rated 30% good or excellent. Man, it went down from last week. As of Sunday, that's down from 33% at the start of the month, according to the U.S. Department of Agriculture. The percentage that was rated poor or very poor rose 31% from 25 in a week. Topsoil moisture is 22% adequate, 1% surplus, and subsoil moisture was 28% adequate this week. When January started, topsoil moisture was rated 26% adequate and 2% surplus, and subsoil moisture was 34% adequate with 1% surplus. Most of southern and central Kansas haven't had much rain in the past 30 days, according to the National Weather Service. The Oklahoma and Texas panhandles and western Oklahoma are also very dry. We've had measurable rain of 1/10 or so in the last 90 days, so it's not good. If you listen to Lacey earlier, this moisture we got coming in, the snow might be 2 inches, but it might not be much, hundredths in the moisture category, so it's not going to be good, but there is a little optimism on what's coming in next week, so hopefully it'll do us some good. Most of southern and central Kansas haven't seen much rain in the past 30 to 60 days, and that's put a damper on the outlook on the wheat crop. Then you have the tensions between Russia and Ukraine. Two of the world's largest wheat exporters continue to rise after Moscow criticized the U.S. for putting troops on high alert amid fears of war. The Pentagon has reported putting 8,500 U.S. troops on alert in the event of a Russian invades Ukraine. Talks are ongoing but have yet bore fruit, according to the media. Around 100,000 Russian troops have reportedly amassed at the Ukraine border. Russia is expected to export 35 million metric tons of wheat in 21-22 marketing year. Ukraine is expected to export 24.2 million metric tons of wheat this year. Wheat for March delivery jumped 11 cents to $8.115 a bushel overnight on the Chicago Board of Trade, while Kansas City futures added 8.5 cents to $8.26.5. And I'm sure those futures have skyrocketed today because their cash prices are higher than what they reported there. Soybean futures for March delivery fell 3 cents to $14 a bushel. Soy meal lost $3.40 to $390.50 a short ton, and soybean oil futures gained 0.43 cents to 62.4 cents a pound. Corn futures for March delivery fell a half cent to $6.20.5 a bushel. When we get back, I got to talk about my favorite people over there at the Stockman's Veterinary Clinic, because I'm wearing their cap on the show today. If you can see it, you see it? Right there it is. Anyway, we could talk about Dr. Taylor Mouse, and I got some hay reports. It's Hay Day Tuesday, but it looks like me and Lacey might have talked a little bit too long, so I got to get a lot done here pretty quick. Be right back after this. It's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
It's known as the thief in the night. A lack of cattle mineral can lead to decreased weaning weights, small, weak calves, and severely compromised health. Don't let a gap in your feeding program rob your herd's performance. Stop by Farmers Union Co-op in Elk City and pick up a bag of Purina Wind and Rain Storm Mineral today. Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City is your authorized Purina dealer.
In this area, a lot of people wean their calves off their cows in the fall. Wheat's planted in the fall. And they buy calves. They take them to the sale barn or maybe private treaty. They run them through the winter on wheat. And some sell in March before they cut their wheat. Some take them through May and graze out their wheat and sell them in May or run them through grass in the summer. I have cattle. The guys I work with, they have cattle. I'm a fourth generational rancher. I'm Monty Carlson, and I help make a difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
My background is in AI service. If you're doing that, you're more progressive. You're not going to the sale barn and buying a bull for the cheapest you can get. You're searching for better genetics. You're searching for a better quality product. Just like, do you go down to the used car store and buy the car with all the dents and dings, or do you want the new car? We decided we'd start building our own pretty vehicles rather than going paying the price for the pretty vehicle. B&L Red Angus. BLRedAngus.com. You can find us on Facebook by searching B&L Red Angus.
Now, back to more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
There we go. I'm back. Fired up. I'm back. Anyway, currently 39 degrees, wind chills 30 still. I'll have the Long Ranger coming up after my next break. Today is the Stockman's Veterinary Wear a Cap on Jimmy's Head Day. Dr. Taylor Mouse, Stockman's Veterinary Clinic, is serving all farmers, ranchers, and pet owners in western Oklahoma in the Texas Panhandle in their newly remodeled and updated clinic at 1019 South Main Street in Elk City. Dr. Mouse is providing all large animal services, including bovine and equine surgery, ultrasound, digital x-ray, equine dentistry, herd health, bovine embryo transfer, and AI programs, as well as all your sheep, goat, and pig veterinarian health needs. Stockman's also features a pull-through unloading, and it does work really good. I've used it once already. A brand new hydraulic tilt chute on their site for cattle, as well as a heated indoor OB and large animal surgery suite with indoor stalls and outdoor pen space for inpatient treatment. And hey, I did look at their large animal surgery suite, and they do have a bathroom in there for horses and cows. It's kind of cool. You just got to scoop it up, move it. Bathroom's already installed in there. So anyway, small animal services include routine checkups, vaccination, boarding with indoor, outdoor runs, full surgery with gas anesthesia, including C-sections and pet dental needs, and an on-site laboratory with digital x-ray. She also does farm calls, and she's on 24-hour emergency service for all species, which is great. 580-225-0200, easy number to remember, 225-0200, or stop by and let Dr. Taylor Mouse and her professional staff provide for you and your animals. They do care, and it does show, and you're absolutely right. Man, today's Heyday Tuesdays, and I want to get to that if I can. There, here it is. All right, here we go. We got premium alfalfa hay prices. Let's just pick a couple states here. Let's go with our neighbors. Let's just talk about our neighbors. Premium alfalfa in Kansas is $198 to $400 a ton delivered. Good is $150 to $230. Missouri, $160 to $250 on premium, $120 to $160 on good. Nebraska, $250 on premium, $140 to $220 on good. Oklahoma, $185 to $215 on premium, $130 to $176. There's that $176 number. That number's been in there for a month now. On good, let's go with Texas. $235 delivered to $325 delivered on premium alfalfa. $225 to $260 delivered on good. Well, down here in the grass category, let's do the same thing. Kansas, $110 to $140 on good hay. $160 to $175. It doesn't have a D by there, but I'm sure that $175 is delivered on good. Missouri's $140, $80 to $100 on good. Nebraska is on up there. Their hay's worth a little more up there on the grass part. $200 to $240 per ton on premium. $140 to $150 on good. And in Oklahoma, $90 to $145 on premium and $75 to $100 on good. And I'm not seeing anything really crazy on hay prices. In the grass category, Washington, the state of Washington, $320 to $350 on premium grass. Go back up here to alfalfa. Nothing crazy. It looks like Washington again, $280 to $290 on premium alfalfa is what they're paying, and that's not delivered. So you can tell that just looking at some of these states that were in the major drought. We're in a drought, but these guys have been in this drought for a couple of years. They're still struggling up there, so I'm sure a lot of that was horse hay or goat and sheep hay because a lot of cattle have been culled up there, but they still have cattle up there. People had some pivots or something running some hay up there. So there is your weekly USDA deal. There's a lady, you guys listening up there at in my northern part of my listening area of the either Texas Panhandle or up there around Shattuck or Arnett, Woodward, wherever you're listening, there is a lady on Facebook. If you look her up, well, actually, I got her name now. I'll give you that number. Write this number down. 580-216-3481, Sally Irvin, and she has three halves left of Angus beef, black Angus beef, not red Angus, black Angus. But anyway, $350 a pound hanging weight, and you pay the processing if you're looking for some beef up in that area. I was looking at some of her pictures on social media, and the beef's got great marbling in it. It looks good. Looks like those halves anywhere from $456 to $444 to $448. So if you're looking for some meat, she will sell quarters if somebody just needs a quarter. But if you're up there in the Woodward, Ellis, Dewey County area and you're needing some beef or across the state line there, need some beef, call Sally at 580-216-3481. Text me on the text line if you didn't get that number, and I'll send it to you and we'll go from there. This looks like one of my listeners is saying that Dr. Taylor Mouse is taking care of their pet skunk. Anyway, so good. Anyway, everything's going well. I got one more break to go before the end of the show, so let's take that. When I come back, I'll do the Long Ranger and do some cow-calf stuff. Anyways, Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
Ron Hayes here. Here's what the good folks are saying about SEI Agritech's Livestock Nutrition Center's feed and minerals.
Hello, this is Sean Wyatt. I have a cow-calf operation, and I buy my feed from Kent Watkins at SEI Agritech in Elk City. Kent will provide the best service possible. I highly recommend giving SEI Agritech a call about your feed and minerals.
If you want better feed and better results, visit SEI Agritech in Elk City, your local Livestock Nutrition Center authorized distributor, located on South Randall in Elk City.
From sunup till sundown, we know your irrigation equipment needs to be as hardworking as you, because we all know a farmer's job is never done. Valley is your strength in the field. We're the everyman brand. No matter your operational setup, we have the irrigation equipment and technology to move you forward. Valley products are built to last, easy to operate, and ahead of the curve. Durable, reliable, and built tough. This is Valley.
Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325, or online at knutsonirrigation.com.
This hour's weather brought to you by Hobart Farm and Garden. Complete nutrition for every animal, that's what you'll find in Hi-Pro Feeds. At Hi-Pro, their commitment to nutrition is unwavering. Buy the best and get the most out of every animal. Hobart Farm and Garden in Hobart, Oklahoma is your local Hi-Pro Feeds dealer. Providing quality feeds in bulk, bags, or sacks. See their ad in the Penny News and check them out on Facebook. See all they have to offer at HobartFarmAndGarden.com. That's HobartFarmAndGarden.com.
Today in Ag is back with Jimmy Clark.
Okie doke, 39 degrees, 30s of wind chilled. Winds are still out of the northeast at 15, gusting up 23, so it's out of the northeast. Wind always cuts through you. It's got a little moisture or something in it and just makes it colder. High today, 44, low tonight, 19. Tomorrow, 60% chance of snow, 28 for a high. Tomorrow night, chance of snow, 20%, low around 20. Warming back up Thursday to 46 with a low Thursday night at 19. Friday looks great, 53, and Saturday even looks better. How about a whopping 60 degrees? So here we go back through that cycle. Let me check this other really, really long forecaster and see what we got coming. This goes to Monday. So anyway, Sunday's 60 and Monday's 59. So looks like a gorgeous weekend coming up to go do something. I'm going to go quail hunting. I'm probably going to go golfing if my leg's going to let me get after it. But also that on that deal that I was talking to you guys about from Sally Irvin from up there at Woodward, these calves have been on feed for 200 days plus. So my word, there's going to be some good marbling in there. So anyway, she had they had eight halves, and they're down to those three. And I just thought I'd do her a favor, because you know me, I like to push buy local, process local. Also, a funny story that one of my friends told me from over east of here in Ouachita County. He sells processed beef to people all over state or wherever. Anyway, some friends of friends bought some from him from Dallas, Texas, and I guess the husband of this couple that bought that half of beef, I believe it was, might not have been a half, but he's not happy with my buddy, because he said now that they have this homegrown beef and in their freezer, his wife won't go out and eat no more. That's funny. Anyway, so I thought it was kind of cool that, hey, I'm not going out to eat. We got what we need right here in our own freezer. Well, Dr. Peel, Daryl Peel from the OSU Extension Livestock Marketing at OSU there in Stillwater. Here's a little update on feedlot placements that I want to give you before the show's over. Unexpectedly large December placements once again pushed feedlot inventories higher year over year on January 1st. Feedlot placements in December were 106.5% of last year, higher than the average trade expectation and above trade estimate range. December marketings were about as expected at 100.8% of 1 year ago. However, one less slaughter day in that month, daily average marketings were 5% year over year December. The January 1 on feed total was 12.03 7 million head. That's 100.6% of last year. On January 1, the inventory of steers and feedlots was 0.5% below 1 year ago, while the number of heifers on feed were up 2.4% year over year. Although cattle numbers are generally declining, feedlots will try to maintain inventories as long as possible. Following a similar pattern to November, most of the increase in December placements were lightweight cattle. Placements of cattle weighing less than 700 pounds were up 9.5% year over year, while placements of cattle over 800 pounds were up just 1.7% compared to last year. Cattle producers may have helped feedlots with large December placements as rising feeder prices encouraged later and large auction totals, at least in some regions. In Oklahoma, for example, feeder cattle auction totals for the last 3 weeks of December sales were up 22.4% year over year. Feeder cattle supplies are expected to tighten considerably in 2022. With the final numbers for December completing this the year, commercial beef production in 2021 totaled 27.937 billion pounds. Billion pounds. That's not million, it's billion. Up 2.8% year over year and a new record annual total for the U.S. total slaughter, cattle slaughter, federally inspected now, was 33.184 million head, up 3.2% from 2020. It was worth noting that 2021 had a total of 254 slaughter days, two less than 2020, a leap year. Total slaughter days per year vary from 254 to 256 and usually only change by one day, more or less, per year. Total steer and heifer fed slaughter was 25.972 million head in 2021, with steer slaughter at 16 million of that, with the heifer slaughter almost at 10 million, made up 38% of the fed slaughter. That's the largest percentage since 2004. Total cattle slaughter cow slaughter was 6.669 million, and that accounted for 20% of the total slaughter. The highest percentage since 2011, beef cow slaughter totaled 3.562 million head, and that's up 9% year over year. Average weight on steer carcass weights was 906 pounds last year, down 1 pound from 2020, and then average steer carcass weights exceeded average bull carcass weights, 884 in 2021 for the third year in a row. Your heifer carcass weights averaged 831, and that's down 1.8 pounds from year over year. So cow carcass weights was average 637, and that's down 3.8 pounds from the prior year. Finishing up here, declining cattle numbers are projected to reduce cattle slaughter by 2.5% to 3% this year and lead to a 2.5% decrease in beef production for the year. However, drought could change the timing by forcing more liquidation and slaughter sooner and delaying the decrease of production and until later. Yeah, drought's going to affect everything. I can tell you that for sure. It's they've been calling up there for a year, year and a half up north in the Dakotas and Wyoming and Montana and northern Nebraska, Michigan. They've been doing that for about a year and a half now. And if something don't change around here, we're going to have to start doing a little culling here. Not getting rid of herds, but doing some culling, because we have some important months coming up in front of us after the end of February and March. We need rain, things to turn green. So anyway, we'll see what happens with this drought. But hey, we're farmers and ranchers. We're tough. We can struggle through it. Well, you guys have a great day. Hope you enjoyed having Lacey on the show today. and I'll see you guys tomorrow and be listening to my Ag Update, early morning Ag Update, right before the early morning show. Every morning about 7 o'clock, I do a 2-minute update on what's going on in our important world. It's the Day in Ag, Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO. God bless.
You've got it locked on West.